our next presenter is going to be working from the table. So while they're getting connected, I'll just take the opportunity to say that I think as many people in this room know, the musical culture of Trinidad and Tobago is wonderfully rich and varied, and we're quite fortunate that so much of it was actually recorded from the acoustic era on down, and there have been many great reissues of the classic Calypsonians and Trinidadian orchestras. This richness, these many varied strands continue to inform the music of Trinidad and Tobago today. And our next speaker, Megan Sylvester, who contributed an article to not the current Ars Journal, but the previous one, is a research and development special for Creative Industries. And her main focus has been, from an academic perspective, on the deeper analysis of the indigenous musics of Trinidad and Tobago and the related and attendant multilingualism, pluriculturalism, pluri-identifiers included in the sounds, beats, and lyrics of the music to this day. And she'll be speaking with particular focus on the music of the last 40 years in Trinidad and Tobago. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, then. This is Megan Sylvester.
Okay, good morning, everyone. As the chair indicated, my name is Megan Sylvester, and I'm coming from Trinidad and Tobago. This is my first time at ASK, so I want to thank you for welcoming me so warmly. And I also want to give a special mention to the program chair, Carrie Janelle, for allowing me to have this opportunity. So I'm going to start off by giving an introduction on Trinidad and Tobago so you have a sense of the difference of the both islands, and then I will get into calypso and then soca and the derivatives of the soca music. Trinidad and Tobago is a twin island economy making up two islands. Trinidad in particular is a multicultural melting pot stirred by the descendants of settlers from Europe, Africa, Asia, South America, and the Middle East. But in 1498, when explorer Christopher Columbus set foot on Trinidad, things were very different. Arawak and Carib Indians prospered here on the island, the Amerindians called Airi, land of the hummingbird, until Columbus spotted the island, which he named for the Holy Trinity. When the Spaniards discovered no precious metals on Trinidad, the Amerindians were enslaved and then shipped off to work on other Caribbean settlements. Nearly a century would pass before Spain established Trinidad's first European community, San Jose de Aruna, or St. Joseph. Trinidad remained a Spanish possession from the 15th century, and the schedule of population in 1783 allowed, this then changed the demographics of Trinidad and Tobago, and allowed French planters now and their slaves to emigrate from French colonies, namely Martinique and Guadeloupe, to the island. The British would capture Trinidad in 1797 and negotiate an amicable treaty of rule with the Spanish. So what we're seeing is a merge between the British, the Spanish, and the French taking place in one island. In the following years, enslaved Africans were brought into work on the sugar plantations, and in 1802, the island became a British colony. After slavery was abolished by Britain, landowners imported thousands of indentured laborers from India, China, and Portugal. So we see again the demographics changing. And the reason that I'm mentioning this is because with each demographic change, the culture changes, and therefore it all had an impact on the music that comes out of Trinidad and Tobago. While Middle Easterners would come to Trinidad later on as early tradesmen, in 1889, Britain joined the smaller island of Tobago to Trinidad and as an administrative ward. The islands achieved independence from England in 1962 and became the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago in 1976. I just want to give you a little bit of information about Tobago because there is this misconception that the islands are similar or indeed the same, and this is definitely not so. There are substantive differences. Tobago, named for the tobacco cultivated by the original Carib population, existed separately from Trinidad for centuries. When the explorer Christopher Columbus sighted the island in 1498, he did not land and made no attempts to colonize Tobago. But long before European powers expressed interest in the island's strategic harbor and fertile soil, it was the center of battles for control between the Carib population and other Amerindian tribes. Later in the 17th century, English, Dutch, French, and even Corylanders, that is Latvians, fought to control the strategic island, and it changed hands more than 30 times, having clearly a fundamentally different historical experience from Trinidad. During British rule in the late 1600s, sugar, cotton, and indigo plantations were established, and thousands of Africans were brought to Tobago as slave labor. In 1781, the French invaded, but by 1814, the island was ceded to Britain. So in sum, in terms of my introduction, the European influence on the culture of Trinidad and Tobago primarily comes from Spain, France, and Britain. All three countries claimed the islands at various times during the country's colonial history. Spanish rule began when Columbus discovered, in quotation marks, Trinidad, and lasted for nearly 300 years. During the latter part of Spain's occupation, French immigrants moved into political offices. In addition to African and Spanish influences, Trinidad's culture began to adopt French traits, language, and customs. It was ruled by the British, had that Spanish history, and then the French dominates in terms of the trace, language, and customs. However, following the introductions of people such as the East Indians, the Chinese, and the Portuguese, initially after slavery and the continued population expansion with tradesmen from Syria and Lebanon in the early 20th centuries, together with islanders from neighboring islands in the middle to late half of the century of that same period, accounted for a large numbers of migrants from the Caribbean, each bringing their own unique culture and musical background and practices. So now you have a sense of what's really happening with Trinidad and Tobago. Yes, so now I'm going to go on to speak to calypso music. And of course, I'm going to be playing some music for you today. So I'm going to give you a little sense of calypso and its history, though many people may be aware. Calypso has had a long history dating back to the mid-1800s and has such as enjoyed importance of place and space to be representative of national, social, and political realities within the Trinbagonian musical landscape. Calypso historically has been performed and heard mostly during the carnival season in calypso tents and at the Mardi Gras, French for Big Sunday, which is a show that takes place at the end of the carnival season. The traditional calypso in terms of musical form may have three or four verses and a chorus, and its lyrics would be focused on social, political, and economic realities of the day. Given the island's larger size in comparison to other West Indian territories and its natural resources, which Christopher Columbus did not realize at the time, and commercial economic opportunities, Trinidad became a hub of migratory activity as Caribbean citizens came in search of work. As a result, calypso music in its embryonic stages was a melding pot of local folk tunes. So what is very interesting about this is, even though calypso tends to be associated with Trinidad, it would be incorrect to say that calypso belongs to Trinidad because of all the migratory practices that would have taken place. And the calypso is basically, you know, coming from the slave tradition of the folk tunes being sung in a response to making fun about the slave masters and the whole, and all of the atrocities of slavery. This would have happened in all of the island territories of the Caribbean. So calypso itself came to its fullest fruition in Trinidad, yes? Because it was really a series of local folk tunes from the islands. In fact, up to the 1950s, mento music from Jamaica and beguine from French-speaking Guadeloupe possessed similar melodies and structures of calypso music. Coupled with the skill of the Trinidadian calypsonian to use double entendre, which is the use of a word or phrase having double meaning, which is usually, in our case, smutty or indecent, in their songs, together with the colonial administration's frequent staging of calypso tent competitions, which developed the sharpness and tenacity of the performers as they battled to win the crown. The calypso art form as a tradition grew from strength to strength. eventually giving Trinidad the reputation of owning the most talented mouthpieces for mastery of technique. Musically, over time, calypso music embodied a wide variety of musics, such as calypso swing, calypso foxtrot, the Trinidad Carnival Paseo, Grenada Paseo, Tobago Paseo, Creole calypso circa the 1930s, and graduating to the use of rhythmic patterns on the hi-hat, musical riffs on the keyboard, and the bass lines from the African-American disco by the 1970s. And this is according to Gibeau, 2007. The presence of the American sailors, because there was American occupation in Trinidad, and other military personnel at the U.S. base in Trinidad during wartime had set the groundwork for a constant audience for calypso music and also affected the speed and the tenor of the songs sung for the tourists. Satirical skill and creativity were used to deliver the message, yet the tempo of the songs on offer were always at a pace at which the foreigner could grasp the full meaning. Therein lies the raison d'etre for the primary of place of the calypso ballad. And I'm going to play the song so you can actually hear the change. According to the traditional music pundits, calypso music has been said to have started its descent circa 1983 with the ascendance of soca music. All right, so now I'm going to just play some music for you. Hopefully all systems go. So this is Lord Invader. On your left.
And when the Yankees first went to Trinidad, some of the young girls were more than glad. They said that the Yankees treat them nice, and they give them a better price. They buy rum and Coca-Cola, went down Point Kumana, both mothers and daughters, working for the Yankee dollar.
All right, so we get a sense of this whole concept of the ballad and the speed and the tenor. Here is now the Mighty Sparrow.
Up in tongue, in for a penny and in for a pong. Believe me, it's competition for so trouble in the tongue when the price drop low. So when you bump some
Gene and Dinah, Rosita and Clementina, round the corner posing, that your life is something they say. Now when you catch them broke, you can get them all for nothing. So don't make a row, the Yankees gone, Sparrow can go now.
Now, interestingly, both those songs are speaking about the impact of the U.S. occupation and the impact that it had on the society, and the fact that many of the women in the surrounding areas of Carenage and Plumita tended to be involved They were prostitutes, servicing the servicemen. Yes, but those would have been the main. Audiences for calypso at that time. This is the Mighty Sparrow, another again. This song is called Dan, It's Man and Dan.
Captain, there's a traitor on board.
Examine the horn.
According to the education you get when you're small, you will grow up with true ambition and respect from one and all. But in my days in school, they teach me like a fool. The things they teach me, I should be a block-headed mule.
How will they teach you?
They tell me pussy has finished his work long ago,
and now he resting and ting.
Solomon Gandhi was born on a Monday.
The ass in the lion's skin.
Winking, blinking, and nod. Sail off in a wooden sloop. The goody Lucy tail and the alligator fighting to make monkey liver soup.
And Dan is the man in the band.
Okay, so interestingly, that is a song critiquing the education system that would have been handed down by the Europeans. Again, as I would have mentioned earlier, it's about social, political, and national commentary on what's happening at the time. So this is the Lord Kitchener. This is Mama, this is
Mama, this is mass. Mass, there is mass of class. This I can assure, what we hoping for. We have no fight, no fuss. Visitors can join with us and jump up in Bahana and join the carnival. For the bands will be passing down Frederick Street with a ping-pong beat, burning heat. And then they march merrily to the Savannah. No one aggressive. Carnival is strictly conservative.
Okay, so what's interesting about that song is that calypso music traditionally would have grown up alongside the festival of Carnival, and so did soca music, which came later on. All right, so in this particular song, Mama, This Is Mass, Lord Kitchener is actually beginning to speak about what really constitutes mass. According to the traditional music pundits, calypso music started its descent circa 1983, but it can really be traced to 1973-1974 with the ascendance of Lord Shorty, which I will be playing later. Later on in the 1990s, other musical offshoots of soca music were being born, such as chutney soca, raga soca, groovy soca, and parang soca, which began to gain prominence as the preferred party music to the original upbeat versions of some calypso music. Another derivative of soca music is parang soca, which is the music traditionally played at Christmas time and provides a lively addition to the Christmas tradition of going from house to house to serenade some well-wishers. So what I'm going to do now is just tell you a little bit about soca music and then play some of the early soca from the period 1970s to the 1980s, and then I'm going to play from the 1980s and beyond. Soca music is different from calypso music in its tempo, lyrics, and beat. Calypso music is mostly associated with the social commentary and lyrics critical of the ruling political directorate, with a slow and repetitive beat, as you would have heard, and continuous steady tempo. But it seemed to have lost its hegemonic role as the sole carnival music or music for the masses, and was replaced by a high tempo music with lighter lyrics, whose main responsibility was to create and foster wild abandon in its patrons while providing music for simply dancing and pleasure. Soca music has been known to be the sole calypso, offspring of calypso, and the dominant carnival music of the past two decades or so, and is widely acknowledged to be a melding of calypso and Indian forms. The birth of soca, which most agree is said to have taken place during the oil boom period of the 1970s, is most often traced to Lord Shorty, who hailed from the south of Trinidad, and he would have merged the African calypso and the Indian type music to bring about this music called soca music. So this is Lord Shorty. The name of the song is Endless Vibration, and this is the first song.
Sexy. Change the accent of carnival to a groovy, groovy bacchanal. Wailing, expressing the old feeling, who needs changing? Wake up, people, examine your minds. Get with it, the change of the times. It's a new generation, endless vibrations.
Right on, right on, right on.
basically this song is making a plea. Lord Shorty is representing the masses of the population who are saying the slow, repetitive beat of calypso music is no longer a music that is desirable for the carnival tradition, and soca music needs to replace this calypso music as the primary carnival music. Not that calypso music is to be tossed aside, right? Because calypso continues to have its main focus as being this music that critically challenges the status quo. Yeah? So I'm now going to play, as the music progresses, this is Mighty Shadow, another example of early soca music.
I was planning to forget calypso and go and plant peas in Tobago, but I am afraid I can't make the grade. Cause every night I lie down in my bed, I'm hearing a bass man in my head. I don't know how this thing gets inside me, but every morning he driving me crazy. Like he taking me head for a panyard. Morning and evening, like this fella born mad.
All right. So we move on. Maestro, who I'm going to play next, Tempo is the name of the song, was one of the, he died very early in his career, but he was really one of the main proponents to follow after Lord Shorty to really bring about this new sound that was called soca.
Masqueraders ball, I hear them complaining. If I'm playing too slow, they say they want tempo. Playing too much classic, too much young music. They're straying from the beat, and they're leaving me in heat.
Tempo, rapido.
You're playing too slow, when we want it fast. People want more tempo, when they play it fast. They want to, they say they want to.
We don't need this.
I want to hear tenors ringing and get up and grumbling.
We want to make some more action on Monday, sweet band.
What's interesting about this particular song, in this particular presentation, I don't really mention steel band, and that's not because I'm trying to ignore steel band as a critical music that comes out of Trinidad and Tobago, but I'm really just looking at calypso and soca. But in this particular song, Maestro is actually speaking to the introduction of steel band within the carnival, not for the first time, but in terms of in song, that people want to hear the music of the steel band accompanying the soca music within the carnival festivities, yes? And I just want to mention that in the segment before, I just had calypso at the top, if people have been looking, and now I have calypso soca. The reason that that is because this is a sort of transitionary stage where sometimes some artists would have a more calypso-sounding song, and then some would have a faster beat. So this is what's basically happening in this section here. I'm going to play Black Stallion, and this is... quite an important song for the Caribbean. Instrumentation again has changed the introduction.
With a federation, the whole thing ain't in confusion. Curriculum and then Carifter, but somehow a spelling disaster. Mr. West Indian politician, I mean you went to a big institution, and how come you can't unite 7 million? When a West Indian unity, I know it's very easy. If you only rap to your people and tell them like me, them is one race,
the Caribbean man,
from the same place,
the Caribbean.
That make the same trip,
the Caribbean man,
on the same ship,
the Caribbean man.
So we must push one common intention, is for a better life in the region, for we woman and we children. That must be the ambition of the Caribbean man, the Caribbean man, the Caribbean man.
Now, this song became a sort of anthem because it was calling, it was a sort of call to arms of Caribbean people to come together to make change. The first stanza speaks about the fall of the Federation. I don't know how many people are aware that there was this period where we tried to get together all of the islands to have a federation, and that failed because one of the larger islands pulled out. And the famous quote of one minus zero, you know, just leaves everybody. 10 minus zero just leaves none of them there together. But interestingly, this song really became an anthem because it was really speaking about the development of Carifta and then the early precursor of CARICOM, all right? And this is what we have as our union now, as our economic and social union in the Caribbean. All right, so I'm going to play, again, the heading here says Calypso and Soca, and I'm going to play one song, one last song that really, the name of the song is interestingly Calypso Music. But when you hear it, it may not necessarily sound like a traditional Calypso, but it also has the leanings of the Soca music as well. Speaking about Calypso music and the impact that it has. The next picture shows Marshall Montano, and Marshall Montano actually is one of our, he was started off as a Calypsonian and then became one of our most renowned soca music artists. He did some collaborations with Jamaican dancehall artists, and this is where we see the fusion starting to take place. So you leave Calypso, you leave it as a standalone, you have this merging in with the East Indian rhythms to form soca music, and then you start to see the fusion and the hybridization of the music taking place. And this period now is from the 1990s and beyond. So I'm just going to play shorter excerpts so that you can get a sense of. So what we're listening here to now is going to be the dancehall soca, yeah? So this is going to be Marshall Montano and Beanie Man from Jamaica, as well as Marshall Montano and Red Rat, also from Jamaica. There's a little introduction here where there's some talking.
What?
I thought you were supposed to put gas.
But I put gas.
You were supposed to put gas.
Look and see.
Actually, here is a distinction between the Sing J and the DJ, so that there's one artist who's singing on the mic, and then there's that one that does the rapping or, you know, the chanting, which is the dancehall style. This voice here is Marshall Montano. Soon you will hear Beanie Man stepping, and you will realize that the music completely changes. Right, so we see that happening there. Then I just want to play a little bit of This is Marshall Montano and Red Rat.
Yo, this is Red Rat and Marshall. Where the rubber girls at? Well. Yeah.
Oh, where they stand?
This is around you want to call the rubber is one.
I got line up, line up before I climb up.
Me wonder if you remember quiet Selena. Throughout the year she have a decent behavior. Now she drink and the juice that take over. Next she act like Bill and Monica. Me want the rubber waist girl to come in ya. Who got the weight from junior to senior? Show them the carnival backbone roll over.
So you have a sense of how that collaboration would have gone, all right? Now I want to let you listen to Marshall Montano and Destro Garcia, which is actually the signature song. I said that Endless Vibration was the first ever soca music song, but we also have a signature song for the carnival season. Now this category is called Power Soca. So the beat is going to be different. This is the sped up beat that we're talking about.
Baby, yeah. You know how we do. You and me. You tell your friends, I tell mine. It's our time again.
So you get a sense of the pace. And this song's absolutely different from the original calypsos that we would have heard. Now I'm going to go on to the category of groovy soca. Groovy soca is not necessarily a subgenre of soca as chutney soca and raga soca. In fact, the need to label the slower pace of soca music as groovy soca only arose in the 2000s after the fast jump-up, up-tempo power soca, which we just heard, was now so strongly established and popular that there was an obvious need to distinguish or rebrand the slower original groovy pace soca and give singers who specialize in that groovier pace of soca, which would have been the original Calypsonians, actually, more room and recognition for producing original-paced groovy soca that is easier to dance to. In other words, groovy soca is all about going back to the trendy, danceable roots of soca music, speed-wise. So now I'm going to play a little bit of this, just so that you give. So this song that I'm going to play is by Farmer Nappy. This is actually a 2014 song, so you have a sense of what is meant by this groovy soca.
Come on, yes, a beat. There we go, yes, a beat.
Have a sense of that beat. In the interest of time, I'm just going to skip. I just want to play some raga soca music as well, just to let you know. Raga soca, strictly speaking, mixes more of the Jamaican type chanting rhythms with that of regular soca. Now, I would have spoken about dancehall soca before, and that was specifically when you had the two people, one artist from Jamaica, one artist from Trinidad. The raga soca now is one lone artist, which is the Trinidadian artist. Singing in a particular style that resembles that of
you know, we are no strangers in danger.
Jamaican artists on stage.
No, God, but it's a sign of pick up my friend Ranger. Uh-huh, ninja, you don't know. Some boy like them want me to stem. Like they want me get my pen and loose them. The other day they rub a bar in Komodo Junction and they gone with my music system. I don't care who makes jail and who sell drugs. If you touch my music, you will feel slugs. Call on your friend, them a call on my talks. Make your chop like Polly wants.
So basically, that has all of the trimmings of the DJ going on the mic, spitting lyrics, something akin to hip-hop, actually. Chutney soca, let me just speak about chutney soca. Since the Indian cultural revival of the 1990s, soca music has been joined by a much more self-consciously Indian form of chutney soca, which exploded onto the carnival scene in 1996. Music historians are still undecided about pinpointing the specific beginning of the musical genre. However, the first known recording was Jupiter Ramgunai's album called Chutney Soca in 1987. So I just want to play a little bit of what we consider Chutney Soca. So you're going to hear now East Indian drums. Yes, the harmonium is there, the dolak is there, the cassette drum is there. Yes? Right, and I'm just going to speed quickly to the last section. This is Parang music. This has been associated with Christmas festivities. The songs mainly tell of the good news of the coming of baby Jesus, the savior of Christian believers. The word Parang originally came from the word paranda, meaning merrymaking. Traditional Parang bands, made up of paranderos, consist of singers and musicians who play the guitar, the mandolin, the cuatro, the violin, the maracas or shakshak, the clapper, the box bass, the tambourine, the scratcher, and the tok-tok, or the clavis, all in one band. Other non-traditional instruments, such as the dolak, which is an East Indian drum, and the steel pan are sometimes included. Musicologists like Cupid do not hesitate to credit the contribution to Parang made by West Africans to the descendants of Trinidad. So let me just play this for you. This is an old Parang song, sung in Spanish. You get to hear all of the instruments. I would have just going to play two more and then I'll be finished. So that Parang was replaced by this Parang, which is also in Spanish, but again, the sped up beat. Yeah? But the masses of the population would have wanted a different kind of music. This is Daisy Boisin. Okay, so just the last one now. So we now have Parang Soca, and this is what the music has come to in terms of the last derivative of soca music. Right. In conclusion, being multi-ethnic in nature, Trinidad and Tobago produces a vast array of musical genres which each ethnic group in its diverse population attempts to reach and hold on to in an effort to identify with a specific part of their Trinbagonianness. As the nature and scope of the music industry has changed over time, so too has the production of musical songs. In such an environment, the songs of the musical output from the yearly festival Trinidad and Tobago Carnival has been changing over the last 70-odd years. The recorded sounds of calypso and soca music have been morphing into variants of fusion mixes with the elements of dancehall, hip-hop, Latin folk, East Indian chutney, bhangra, rapso, rhythm and blues, and most recently, electronic dance music. Currently, these tries have afforded much success to the various artists, booking agents, and managers as the Caribbean diaspora and most recently markets in Europe have embraced Trinidad and Tobago's musical offerings. The future then looks favorable for further development of the music industry in the Twin Island economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Megan Sylvester. I was very pleased to hear in your talk that clip of Lord Invader. That's from an album that I worked on. Yeah, Calypso at Midnight, Calypso After Midnight. And those are from recordings, disc recordings, that sat in a closet for 50 years before they were rediscovered and we were able to release them. And that was the first time that Invader got to record his version of Rum and Coca-Cola, which was the subject of a huge historic lawsuit at the time.